Good afternoon. My name is Tristan van Strien, and I'm the European Beverage Analyst here at Deutsche Bank. It is my privilege to introduce the next company, and this is actually their 10th consecutive appearance here at our conference. It's been quite a privilege on our part. We're going to have that's Coca-Cola Hellenic, including and the speaker today will be Dimitris Loios. I'm really doing bad this morning. Dimitris Loios, CEO of Coca-Cola Hellenic. Dimitris.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us. Today I'm here with Michalis Tsimiros, our CFO, and Basak Kotler, our Director of Investor Relations. I'm sure that you have seen that again. You recognize the statements with regards to forward-looking elements. I would like to start with a quick overview on Coca-Cola HBC. We are the second largest bottler in the Coca-Cola system and a strong partnership over 60 years. We operate in 28 countries, a very balanced portfolio with emerging, established, and developing countries. Our portfolio of products comprises many of the world's best-selling non-alcoholic beverages, and our offering is the most diverse among all bottlers, with 31% of our total volume contributed from non-carbonated beverages. We have a strong backbone focused on customer collaboration, winning at the point of sale, and unparalleled distribution. Last but definitely not least, we are a sustainable business where corporate responsibility and sustainability are integrated into all aspects of our business. Importantly, our business is poised for growth with significant opportunities. And today I would like to share with you why we believe we can grow both top line while improving our profitability sustainably. Let me start with the opportunity we see in increasing per capita consumption in sparkling beverages, and this is our largest category. In 2014, overall consumption in our territory was 129 servings per person, less than half of the European average and a fraction of what we see in the United States. Consumption in Nigeria is just at 48 servings, and although an established market, the Italian market is at 154 servings per person. We believe that there is ample room for growth in our territory as the emerging markets develop, and I will come back to that in a minute. In addition, you should not underestimate the potential in countries such as Italy, Greece, where the consumption per capita used to be 25% and 47% higher, respectively, prior to the Eurozone crisis. As the general macroeconomic condition improve, we expect that this market will return to the pre-crisis levels. I mentioned a little while ago the potentiality on emerging markets as the economies in these countries develop. And I would like to spend a few more minutes on this point. Evidence suggests that there is a very good correlation between GDP per capita and sparkling consumption per capita. Many of our countries in our territory are in the bottom left hand, where GDP and consumption are relatively low. Therefore, we have good reasons to believe that these economies will grow and should benefit from an increase in the consumption of our products. In fact, if we plot our three segments and Coca-Cola HBC as a whole, you can see that our territory is still at very early stages of growth. We are encouraged by the demographic dynamics in our emerging markets, and our emerging markets is 50% of the contribution of the group. In addition to the current low level of consumption per capita, these countries generally have favorable overall demographics population growth. In Nigeria, for example, it is expected to see a significant outpace of the growth rate versus the overall world growth rate. And in addition, Nigeria has half of the population below the age of 19. An expanding middle class also helps our business by improving affordability. While it is difficult to get aggregate data for that, let me look and share some data points we have for Nigeria. Middle-class household, and that is households with income exceeding $7,500, are expected to quadruple by 2030 in absolute terms. Urbanization is another trend that benefits our business. Urban centers facilitate the availability of our products, and we see that populations are moving from rural to urban centers, and this is particularly pronounced in our emerging markets. Moving on to growing our business through the development of share in our market. Our overall volume share is 43%, and that covers the totality of our territory. This gives us a very strong and a solid foundation to build upon. In our market, our second biggest competitor is less than half of our size, and with that, we have approximately 40% to private labels and B brands. This means further growth potential as consumers switch from local brands and also from home mixed drinks to our branded goods. We have broadened our portfolio since 2001, increasing the contribution of non-carbonated beverage from 10% to 31% in 2014. In the medium term, sparkling beverages will continue to contribute most of the incremental cases to our business. But we have more to look forward to. The superior growth rates that we have seen both in water and juice in the pre-crisis years are expected to return in the future. Our diverse portfolio, having sparkling beverages, water, juice, ready-to-drink tea, energy, gives us the drivers to win overall in the non-alcoholic ready-to-drink category. Looking at our customer base, currently our customer base is quite fragmented, with no single customer accounting for more than 3% of our volume. Having said that, the retail landscape is changing, with customers, and particularly those in the organized trade, growing and consolidating over time. At Coca-Cola HBC, we not only recognize this trend, but we have also set ourselves up to benefit from this by creating joint value and improving profitability as the customers grow. This involves the development of our route to market and logistics capabilities. In the route to market, and that is the day-to-day sales and execution service we offer to our customers, we look at several metrics. DFOTI measures delivery in full, on time, accurately invoiced, while RED measures right execution daily. The development of the metrics that you see demonstrates how we exploit technology, such as SAP, for better service to our customers. This, in turn, enables us to create and share value with our customers. We are also optimizing our production and warehousing footprint to yield cost benefits. In the last 2 years, we reduced the cost of delivery from plan to customers by 80 basis points as percent of revenue. Let me turn now to the margin expansion initiatives in our business, and I will start with revenue and then move to cost. We have a very well-established architecture, we call it OBPPC, which we utilize to increase the value we get out of each and every case. We do that by creating packages per channel at specific price point, targeting occasions we believe are critical. Good examples of these occasions are meals with Coke and the overall socializing occasion. As a result, OBVPC improves our single serve mix, which now contributes 40% to our portfolio, despite the fact that the fast growing organized trade channel inevitably shifts our package mix to multi-serves. This is compensated by price to offset the depreciation of currency and also inflation wherever that is necessary. We have executed well in recent years with improvement of our FX neutral revenue per case for 14 consecutive quarters. In the last 2 years, the improvement was 3.6%, which in an overall subdued volume environment has supported the top line. This improvement was a result of both initiatives, although I must add that the concentrate price increase in 2014 contributed to this pricing element. In order to support our profitability, we have also adopted strong efficiency focus. Since 2008, we have reduced the number of plants by 18% without sacrificing capacity. The corresponding reduction to established and developing markets, where most of the work that has been done, is 34%. And this consolidation is also coupled with reduction in the number of warehouses and distribution centers. The purpose of this exercise was to optimize capacity, creating plants with more and faster lines and bigger distribution hubs. With SAP now in place in all of our 28 markets, we are taking a holistic view at our manufacturing base, and we believe that there is a lot more we can do, especially in our emerging markets. A leaner production and logistics base allows us to generate more operating leverage when volumes improve, enhancing the bottom line. With equally effective initiatives, we reduced operating expenses as percentage of revenue by 160 basis points since 2008. We have done that with cost discipline, but also with specific actions and investments. We set up a search service centers in Bulgaria, where we swiftly moving all back office transactional processes into the highly efficient and specialized team. SAP has implemented in all of our countries, giving us opportunity to share best practices across the group. We also have a great track record in generating cash flow. We have reduced our working capital by 550 million euro since 2008. We have a disciplined approach to capital expenditure, investing approximately 5.5% as percent of revenue, and the biggest part of that is in revenue-generating initiatives. All of this is instrumental in generating cash and reducing the financing cost. In summary, there are significant opportunities in our territory, and we are focused on taking advantage of these opportunities in the future, growing profitably and sustainably. And that brings me neatly to the subject of sustainable business. Our business strategy recognizes the critical importance of creating shared value for our employees, our customers, our consumers, and the communities we serve. Over the last decade, we have integrated corporate responsibility and sustainability into all aspects of our business management, making long-term investments that aim to build value over time. A very significant stakeholder for our business are the communities where we operate, enriching the lives of communities, contributing to the public good and safeguarding environment are the priorities for us and form a strategic pillar of our business we call Community Trust. We believe that the initiatives under this strategic pillar make us local and help us winning the trust. We group them under three banners: promoting health and wellness, minimizing the environmental impact and benefiting local communities. And I would urge you to read our integrated annual report to see the multitude of initiatives where we have in place, as well as the great results we have achieved and the stretching targets we have set to ourselves. Our efforts have been recognized externally by Dow Jones Sustainability and FTSE for Good indexes since 2008 and 2001, respectively. And it gives me immense pleasure to point out that in 2014, our company was named the industry leader amongst beverage companies in the Dow Jones World and Europe Sustainability Indices. Separately, we have been awarded an A rating and were included in the Climate Performance Leadership Index by the Carbon Disclosure Project. We are also included in the Euronext Vigeo UK 20. We are extremely proud of our achievements, and the recognition we receive motivates our people to continue to excel. Before closing, let me take a couple of minutes to summarize our financial performance in the last few years. I will focus on the last 5 years since 2010, a period during which we had to manage a combination of very strong headwinds. During the period, we faced macroeconomic difficulties in the Eurozone countries like Italy, Greece, and Ireland, which impacted volume in these countries, and those countries are highly profitable countries. At the same time, countries in the developing segment, such as Czech Republic and Poland, also faced difficult trends. Part of the volume loss was offset by the growth in the emerging market segment, but as you know, we cannot achieve the same value per case in emerging markets as in established markets, so this leads to a less favorable country mix. Input cost increases and foreign exchange depreciation caused even more significant setbacks, totaling nearly 400 million euros together. All of this led to a decline of our gross margins of roughly 500 basis points. Under these circumstances, we focused our efforts on cost efficiencies, lowering operating expenses as percent of net sales revenue. Our cost efficiency initiatives combined with a focus to improve both mix and price underpin our margins at around 6.5%. We are determined to expand our margins to pre-crisis levels. And the drivers of this expansion include operational leverage of volume as volume stabilizes and grows, revenue growth management initiatives, which are expected to outweigh input cost development, and continuing our optimization and efficiency journey. Let me close this section by now giving you an understanding of the operating leverages I just referred to. All other things being equal, we estimate that 1% of volume growth will expand EBIT margin by 25 basis points. And again, all things being equal, 1% of revenue per case increase will expand EBIT margin by 70 basis points. This leverage is slightly more skewed in emerging markets due to the higher weight of fixed costs in this segment. Looking at 2015, we expect a year of volume stabilization for the group overall, with trends in established and developing markets stabilizing or improving. Revenue growth management actions delivering FX neutral net sales revenue per case growth and input cost tailwinds to the tune of high single digits. These factors, combined with the self-help measures to control operating expenses, should mitigate the significant foreign exchange headwind we continue to face for the year. Looking further out, we believe the strategy we have been executing with focus and discipline is the right one. Our main objectives remain winning in the marketplace in every occasion and every day, growing currency neutral revenue per case consistently while addressing affordability, maintain cost leadership in every aspect of our business as we work on improving efficiencies and optimizing our cost base, and finally, working on working capital improvement and continuing to generate strong free cash flow. I hope I have convinced you that there are many reasons to be excited for the future of our business. Moreover, we are good at controlling the things that we can influence, and our business is in much better shape to leverage that growth. And with that, Michalis and I will be more than happy to take your questions.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is regarding Nigeria. Your main competitor there is claiming they significantly increased their market share in the last few years. So do you have any thoughts on how competition is developing in this market? How significant are the market shares for your main competitor right now? And how are you going to face this challenge going forward, please?
What we have seen lately is a clear win in the market shares, and I'm referring in sparkling and overall non-alcoholic ready-to-drink. And that's evident also from the Canadian and Nielsen results we have seen with the latest data from the market. Now, for the last couple of years, this trend has not been consistent, and there were parts where the competition have been leading. But overall, with the initiatives we have in place, and that covers sparkling and the non-carbonated beverages, we are confident that this will result in gaining share as we have been doing in the rest of the markets. So we have very strong plans. We have seen also this year excellent results with our investments behind sparkling. Our Share a Coke initiative has been doing fantastically well. We have been also focusing behind expanding our PET capacity. And this has been one of the elements that has been holding us back the last couple of years. So with the additional capacity and investments, along with the more and better marketing, we are working with the Coca-Cola Company, we are pretty confident that we are very well in place to continue what we have seen so far this year.
You highlighted that your margins are obviously quite low at the moment and by comparison with other bottlers. And you also highlighted that you operate in more countries than anybody else with a more diverse portfolio. Is the diverse nature of the markets in which you operate or the portfolio a meaningful contributor to the fact that the margins are low? And would you be better off concentrating on either fewer markets or a narrower range of products, do you think?
Couple of things. First of all, referring to the 28 countries, this is the business model of Hellenic, having established developing and emerging, and this is how we have been developing also our capabilities to support effectively this business model. Second point, obviously, in 2013, this business model has been reconfirmed, working with the Coca-Cola company, with the extension of our bottling rights for another 10 years for the same 28 countries. Referring to the margins, I went through a couple of points on the deterioration of these 500 basis points margins. Now, comparing ourselves with other bottlers that are either focusing on established or on emerging, I believe we need to take into consideration a couple of points. First of all, if I can give you an example that illustrates the comparison, let's assume that we have a market like UK. That's a market of approximately 550 million unit cases with a specific footprint in terms of manufacturing and logistics, and also a specific revenue per case. If we compare that with a market like Russia, which is a bit less than 550 million cases, with 13 plants and more than 50 distribution centers and less than half of the revenue per case, obviously will give you a very good understanding of what the comparison means between countries or regions that are not compatible. Now, with this in mind, obviously, we need to go back to the four major areas where we have seen the deterioration of margin, starting with the fact that we have seen the macro affecting mainly the established, which have been the most favorable in terms of profitability. So there is a country mix element. There is a very strong input cost element, 11, 12, and 13, more than 20% on an FX neutral basis. And additionally, there is a very strong FX element. So I believe consolidating from one end the comparability and from the other hand the elements that were particular in our own territory, we can see the difference between our margins and the comparisons that you referred to. We have been working a lot to take cost out, focusing a lot on our infrastructure, focusing a lot on our OPEX. Obviously, all these initiatives will continue. We have a lot more to improve in our emerging markets. We have not touched the emerging markets. With SAP search services, we have started. There is quite a bit we need to further develop, including Russia and Nigeria. So we have a lot of elements along with the tailwinds that we see in input cost that excite us with regards to going back to the pre-crisis level.
Maybe Dimitri, if I may ask a question about Russia. Been remarkably robust if you compare it to the brewer's performance despite all the political headwinds. What is driving Coca-Cola in Russia? Why are you performing where you are at the moment?
Well, a couple of things. What we see the last couple of years is the choices we have made with regards to our strategic priorities. And I'll start with sparkling, working very closely with the company, with our advertising campaigns, very strong and very locally relevant advertising campaigns, focusing both on fragmented trade, expanding our distribution, while at the same time having customized plans with all the top retailers in the organized
trade, and eventually extending outside the sparkling beverage category. We have been focusing a lot, and we have started a few years back with the integration of our Multon business with the execution of the Hellenic business, and that is the sparkling and the rest of the non-carbonated beverages, which have been doing fantastically well. For the last 13 quarters, we have been growing in juice, and out of that, 10 were double digit. This year, we have very strong plans across. We are very excited with the introduction of Coca-Cola Zero. That was the end of May. We have also launched 2 months back an entry pack, which we believe strategically will support our user base expansion, especially focusing on teens at a very strong price point. And besides that, we are focusing on expanding further our juice through Dobry, that has been also growing double digits. And finally, expanding our distribution to the newly introduced brand of Moya Semia, that right now is part of our Multon brand, and we have a 360 approach with regards to our consumers. So all these elements are helping us with our performance in Russia.
Maybe just one follow-up on that. In terms of the potential of Monster in your portfolio, I mean, when can we expect it, and what markets do you think has the most potential for that?
First of all, we are looking forward for the finalization of the deal between the Coca-Cola Company and Monster Energy. The expectation is that this will happen within this month. From then on, we are in less than half of our market, and we have been working very closely with Monster Energy for a couple of years. Obviously, top in our agenda is the big markets, starting with Russia, Italy, and Nigeria. So those are the markets that we will focus, along with other big markets. But I would say that Russia would be the first market that we will introduce Monster.
You've obviously done a good job of reducing the number of plants over the last 5 years. Now that you've got SAP installed in all of the markets, is it realistic to think that that process might accelerate?
Yes. What we have been doing is focusing a lot more on established and developing. That's why you would see that the footprint there went down by 34%. And I would say we are two-thirds of what the whole objective is for this market. We haven't really touched the emerging markets. So obviously, the next phase for the next 3 years is to conclude establish and developing and accelerate emerging. And here the target is to optimize capacity. It's not obviously to sacrifice capacity. And we will be doing that by more lines per plant and faster and more flexible lines per plant. So this is what we have ahead in the next 3 years, starting obviously with the two big emerging markets, and that's Russia and Nigeria, and continuing with the rest of established and developing along with the rest of the emerging markets. That's our plan.
Dimitris Michalis, thank you very much.
Thank you.